football on off the ball.
Oh my goodness, he can't be, he's just lost his shorts. And we got a view of his rear end, and we've got a close-up of his rear end on the monitors. His shorts and his bicycle shorts underneath.
This is not that type of programme, Stephen.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Zebo going on his own, he gets the try!
The Red 78.
We're both Munster people.
Drury gets over the line, try from Munster!
Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
Hello, you're very welcome along to the Red 78. My name is Rory O'Hagan, joined by Munster legends Alan Quinlan and Fiona Hayes to look back at a much improved Munster performance that sees them finishing fifth in the URC table into the quarterfinals, Champions Cup rugby secured for next season. Plenty of positives to talk about in that Munster performance, and a big, big quarterfinal to come against the Bulls. We'll discuss all that and more on this week's episode of the Red 78. So thank you very much indeed for tuning into us today. Guys, how are you?
Great. I'm good. It was a great weekend of rugby. I'm still recovering, I will say. Good. That. But, you know, getting that Munster win and then watching the women, I was working for the women's game, so I didn't get to the Aviva, but I got a cab straight there afterwards. It was just an unbelievable experience for that game. But certainly that Munster win had me in flying form for the weekend. I was raring to go.
And you finally got your Ireland cap number, Fiona, as well.
Yes, I'm number 176.
Amazing.
Nothing too great, but someone did say to me, I would have been 17 for most of my Irish career because I was behind Fí Coughlin. I would have played 17, and I also played six a lot for Bose, so it was like a mix of all club and country. So 176, we'll go with that.
Fantastic. When you watch your cap number.
Oh, Jesus, I don't know, to be honest. I have no idea. But, no, that's nice to get your cap anyway, Fiona. And you're recovering from the emotional side of the sport, or did you
obviously
have a few drinks to go with it?
The emotional side, Quinny, the emotional side.
Right, very good.
Just the one or two were had. You know me, it'd be rude not to, like.
No, it had to be done.
Important to have it.
Yeah, no, it certainly was, yeah, and fair play. Congratulations as well to the Irish women's team on a terrific Six Nations campaign. We've got a lot to go through on the show today. Fiona, do you want to rattle off the comments that have come into us?
Yes, and it was a great week because there's been a few negative ones coming in over the last few weeks with everything going on. So on the back of performance like that, it's great to be able to read out the positive tweets coming in. And thanks again for sending them in, guys. We'll start with Tara Spain. Job done. Move on to the quarterfinal and hope for a run at it. Much more effort compared to the Connacht game, and there was a few missing as well, basically. Dave O'Hearn, I genuinely feel that Crowley was never seriously in contention to start on Saturday. The odds of him pulling up injured at the very end of the warm-up, two games running, are very slim. I think he was named the team to keep the Lions focused on him and not hurt ticket sales. Ooh, what do you reckon on that? I'll stop there, Quinny.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I had heard that he trained during the week and he trained fully. So I don't think that was the case. I think it caught us on the hop because I watched him in the warm-up and from the commentary position and he was having shots at goal and he was fully participated. Yeah. But I must say I was very concerned when I saw him not coming out. And because I just think his presence and stuff and... but credit to JJ Hanrahan, he had his best game in a long time that I can remember. He played really well, was composed, carried the ball brilliantly as well, and didn't have his best game the week before, and that's the reality. So, yeah, Jack Crowley, I don't think there was any sort of plan to you know, not start him and let on that he was going to play. But as it turned out, it doesn't matter now. But I was concerned about that at the start when he wasn't involved because of the quality of player he is and you know, I suppose his presence on the field. And after the Connacht game the week before, you just felt that leadership and that quality that he can bring would have helped him a lot. But as I said, JJ stepped up and played really well, and he deserves a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, and Jesus, on the back of that as well, Quinny, someone called Pat said he's always given JJ stick, but he played fairly well, so he wants to give him plaudits for that as well. But Dave Ahern says, now that we know what level we'll be playing at next season, what positions will be prioritised for recruitment next season? Can we really expect a better season with the same management and coaching staff? With only 11,000 at Tone Park, can Limerick remain the club's main base? A lot of questions there. We can go back to that in a minute. We'll just read the last week. Keane McGivney, one of the best showings of the season and a place in both the quarterfinals and Champions Cup slots secured. Let's hope Jack Crowley and others get back to face the Bulls. It's going to be another tough one in South Africa, and glad to see Gleeson O'Connell get game time for Keane McGivney. So I suppose the Dave Ahern one, you could probably look at what levels, what position prioritising, Quinny. I know they're looking at that tight head.
Yeah, I think look tight head. Jack Anger has signed. I think it's an area that every team would have concerns about if they're down players. And, you know, John Ryan is finishing up. Roman Salanoa was back doing warm-ups and back involved training in the last couple of weeks. It'd be great to get him back. I think he you know, has had a dreadful time. But you need at least three tight heads. Ronan Fox is re-signed. He's a very promising young player as well. So I think that, yeah, that it's no secret that they're looking for a top quality non-Irish qualified tight heads. And that's an area that obviously is the foundation and the kind of cornerstone of your team as well. With John Klein leaving, I know that we've some young second rows, and it was great to see Evan O'Connell play the other night, but I'd love to see some sort of a second row, back row, kind of experienced, hard-nosed, you know, forward come in there as well. But look, I think, you know, with Tacker Abrams leaving, there's a lot of options in the backfield, and I think Andrew Smith's situation is still up in the air, but for me, I hope he doesn't go. I hope he's not released. I think there's absolute out and out pace there, and I think he's shown in recent weeks how good a player he can be. So yeah, I think look, tight head and a, you know, forward, a bit more power in the forwards would certainly be an area. After that, I think you'd love to probably bring in four or five players if you could, but it's just not possible to do that. So I think it's about promoting the young players, getting Tom Wood involved more. It's great to see Gordon Wood get on the other night, and try and get some of those young players at least training and preparing with the team, the ones that were on the under-20s this year, and hopefully one or two of them can put their hands up. And I think the general feeling is there that some of the younger players going forward next season have to get opportunities, and that is the way that this team can reinvigorate itself as well again.
All right, let's look back at this win over the Lions. Fiona, compared to the previous week and that defeat to Connacht, these two performances were like chalk and cheese.
Absolutely. Like, and even if you look at the stats, like, I thought the defence was unbelievable and they still had 37 missed tackles if you look at that area. But for me, the people, you know, the fans, anyone you were chatting to, Quinny even said it, a lot of people pulling him over the last couple of weeks. I think on the back of that performance, I thought defence, the fight, the character, even small things, just like the after the game, the way Craig Casey spoke, you could just sense that it was a real monster performance. Physicality, they knew that Connacht wasn't good enough and they were able to come out and back it up. Yes, there were errors at times. They could have scored in different areas of the pitch to make things a little easier as well at times for us. But for me, just how they approached the game, how there was a period, I think they scored first, then there was a period of a huge defensive set in that first half that was clinical. When you think about it, 13 players on the pitch, two lads in the bin, and how they went up. They still brought that line speed, even with people missing from the edge. And Jack O'Donoghue, lead from front, Gleeson, everybody, Evan O'Connell, just throwing their body on the line. So for me, on the back of the previous performances, I was absolutely delighted to see that. And that's that's where the bar is at, that for the fans, that's all you want. And obviously you want to see things progress and get better, but that hadn't been there for a while. So it was in the quarterfinals, top eight secure. They knew before Saturday they couldn't get that home quarterfinal anyway. So it was almost best of the rest, and they were able to get everything they require to get into that position. And they have the Bulls now, they've Champions Cup rugby, and you know, this team in South Africa, there is something magical that happens sometimes when they go down to South Africa. We've seen it over the last few years. Have they it in them? I'm not sure, but I'm sure we'll talk about it going into in a few minutes. But certainly against the Bulls, it's been some tight games.
The great thing about Atlas Butler is they do it all. Heating, cooling, plumbing. Look, I'm busy with work. I don't have time to wait around or deal with lots of people. One company, one call, and they do it all. Wonder if they'll clean out my inbox. Seriously, offer that service. Please.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call
1-800-FURNACE. What was your biggest takeaway from the Munster performance?
Yeah, it sounds quite simplistic. That's just the work rate, the desire, the ability to double up and tackles against a very physical side and win collisions. I think that, you know, even in their own carries, they're 327 post-contact meters, which... Mm-hmm. You know, it seems innocuous at times, but it's very, very important. And I think Craig Casey had a much better night at the breakdown in his ability to get ball away and for Munster to create stuff. And you mentioned, Fiona, before halftime when they're down to 13 men to score, the pressure they're putting on there, you know, with the ball as well. And at times when they were that period that was really difficult when when Andrew Smith and Sean O'Brien are in the bin, they did concede a try, and I think it was a bit naive, maybe not holding on to the ball. They did well for a long period of that, and then Mpeku scored a try for the Lions, which was a bit deflating. They got ahead, and the reaction was brilliant then for Munster to go down the field and the way they played. I think, look, it shouldn't happen, and I know Clayton McMillan has referenced this at times, that, you know, when they get a bloody nose or they're punched themselves, that they shouldn't have to come out reacting. It's something they have to learn. And every team at any level, you don't necessarily want a defeat or a bad performance or be highlighted in the video to actually get out and bring a real fight. But I suppose with the desperation of the situation, the results obviously didn't go Munster's way on Friday night. The three results that we spoke about, you know, Ulster were beaten by Glasgow, but Cardiff beating the Stormers and Connacht winning so convincingly over in Edinburgh with a bonus point meant that Munster, if they lost the game, they were out. So it was very small margins. So all that kind of nervous tension and worry probably brought the best out of the players in the way they worked. And again, it's frustrating sometimes when you have to talk about work rate and desire, and like, it wasn't a flawless performance. There was some mistakes and there was some opportunities missed, but I thought that application, that has to be your starting point when you're trying to win games, get that emotional kind of drive right. And they did that the other night. So even if they ended up losing that game, you know, it would have been incredibly disappointing. And there was moments there they were hanging on the second half and they looked a bit fatigued near the end. But anyone I spoke to going out of the stadium was really happy with what they saw, the effort, the work rate, the ability to back each other up and bring that... that bit of passion that's needed. So that's what impressed me. I think their lineup was very good, and it gave them a great platform, and they stole a few balls off the lines at crucial points. And, you know, defensive work, I think there's definitely three occasions there that the Lions would be very disappointed when you have 5 meter lineouts and you're close to the line like that and you don't come away with anything. Jack O'Donoghue got a great maul turnover. just before half time. And then there's a couple in the second half, the Alex Kendallen one, Gavin Coombs. Great shot at Alex Kendallen,
yeah.
Smiling up to the camera. But you know, moments like that, they're big moments in games. They're, you know, they were the moments that kind of summed up the performance. So I never really got nervous going, God, we're going to lose this. I just thought from the way the players applied themselves, the effort from Sean O'Brien to get back for the kick through,
so
in,
good
in the goal line, you know, the ball bounces a little bit his way, which he got the break, but that could have been a try. And if they got level the lines, you know, it's they had all the momentum at that stage. So for Munster to go up the field, and you know, even Thomas Ahern's try was so crucial. But I thought Craig Casey was outstanding, the way he had little snipes, brought players into the game, was constantly on it. Some great passing, some great kicking, clearances to touch. So yeah, that's the fight really impressed me, Rory. And look, it should be a given. You know, it's about learning that. And I think when Clayton McMillan came in last year and was announced, I think we kind of expected that this team now are going to get a bit of a hard nose edge up front. And that's going to be a standard going forward. And we saw a good bit of that in the first number of games, but very inconsistent in that throughout the season. You know, the ruthlessness around their breakdown, their set piece has been very shaky at times. But nothing but credit for them on Saturday, because I was very impressed with the way they applied themselves and the way they got back up off the ground. But we said this last week, Rory, I'm sure there was so many examples that the coaches could have shown players where they were walking, where they were slow off the ground, where they were looked lazy. They looked like that they didn't have that hunger and desire. Look, it can happen in sport, but the effort was just off the charts the other day. And it's what won them the game, because it stopped the Lions on a number of occasions, who were a very confident side coming into the game. Munster missing a load of players, you know, JJ pulling, or Jack Crowley pulling out right before the start, Nankivell gone, you know, Finian Witcherly out, you know, given all the other injuries they have and the need for a win, I think it was very impressive. And it was built on the back of just work rate, desire, passion, energy, and then some really good play. They attacked really well and they scored some really good tries, and they got on the front foot with their breakdown, and players really stepped up and worked their socks off.
And Fiona, that composure on the stretch as well, when Munster were just 7 points up, and like Munster have maybe been lacking that composure closing out games over the course of the season. So that was very pleasing to see at the weekend.
Yeah, it was. And Quinny said it, like, you know, there's changes there. And you expect maybe you're training with the people all week, the starting team will go in there. There was changes there last minute, and there was three of them. That can really rock a team. Obviously, your 10 is pivotal. But I just felt like even when the chips were down, fair play to the coaching staff, I suppose, that got them ready. Because when they came out at kickoff, they were so, so focused. There was some lovely try scores. But yeah, the composure near the end, you just felt like they were confident in their ability. Everything they'd worked on during the week, I suppose defensively especially, is what they would have looked at, because that just wasn't good enough against Connacht. So you could see the areas they worked at, but they also had that want, that aggression. And Casey, I just thought, was superb at captaincy. His first one in Thomond Park, he questioned PRD when he needed to question PRD. This seemed to be a good rapport there. That's what you want from your captain. He even gave the few sound effects for the boom when he thought there was a high shot at one stage. It was brilliant. He was showing, he was doing the sound effects for the referee over the video footage on the big screen. But certainly, I just think that we spoke a few times about leaders standing up. I thought Jack O'Donoghue stood up when he was on that pitch. I thought Craig Casey stood up, and there were were a few guys missing that, you know, you're questioning, oh, will these young guys come on and be able to do that? But I think the leaders around them pulled everyone with them, and we'll probably chat about them when we're talking about the start of the week. But that, even that first try, Evan O'Connell, what a guy coming into that line out, and he was just assured. And I think, Quinny, you said he was the main caller with the lads helping him out. Is would that be right?
Yeah, I think just Evan's line-out ability and his reading of a line-out is excellent. Thomas Ahern was calling some of them as well.
Okay.
Evan was at the front for some, but then in other formations, he was at the back calling as well, Evan O'Connell was. So it was really important because their line-out success was 92%, and they were able to tack off that in crucial moments and plays. The last throw of the game, right to the tail.
Yeah.
And Niall Scanlon threw brilliantly as well. So
he did. And they went to where the space was, Quinny, which is so, like, if they were giving him the front, Evan O'Connell took the front. They went to, instead of trying to overcomplicate things, I thought they kind of broke it down and literally looked where the space was and were speedy in getting to that space.
Well, that is it for part one of the Red 78. To listen to the second part, where we will name our star of the week and we'll have a quick look ahead to that huge quarter final as well, you can become an Off The Ball member. Check out offtheball.com/join for all the details. You can become a member on the Go Loud app, Apple, Spotify or YouTube for $9.99 a month.
The Red 78. Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
I'd like to think I know a lot.